You like Huey Lewis in the news?
They're okay.
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when Sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically. The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost. He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
Hey, Abstract.
Yes, Alan?
Why are there copies of the Styles section all over the place? Do you have a dog? A little chow or something?
No, Alan.
Is that a raincoat?
Yes, it is. In 87, Huey released this. Four, their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Be Square. A song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul! Ah! Strike getting a reservation in Dorkin now, you fucking stupid bastard!
You know, we make a great team, guys. Like Huey Lewis and the Jews. You
don't need money. Sorry, the band's breaking up.
You're listening to Cobras and Fire, a Pantheon podcast, with your hosts, LC Fox and Baco.
She lights a candle.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined, as always, with the spliced Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well, but I'm actually coming to you from the future. I did not reset any of the clocks back in my house, so ooh. I've lived an hour of life that you have spent in bed, and I'm just, anything you want to know, tip you off?
Yeah. Yeah, like what's Elon Musk up to? Any new Twitter news?
Yeah, he's already rolled out the $7.99 fee. Welcome sweet. Back, Paul. Woohoo!
All right,
maybe
Paul,
we'll get into that into the later
show. PAWL. We're verifying that we are Cobras and Fire, both.
Yeah,
both things.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's been an amazing morning. I gotta tell you the truth. It really doesn't seem like anything's different. Everybody else held back, so it's not like I can gamble on football games knowing the outcome after an hour, you know. So
gotcha. Yeah, man, I gotta tell you this. I can't remember the last time. I don't think that we've ever done our show when the time switches.
Oh, on
in.
The actual day, yeah.
I don't think so. I think this is the first time. And my point is, I am fired up. I feel like cocaine is just flowing through my veins. It's amazing, man. You guys are up for it. You are going to get rusted, Baco, and rusted LC. And plus, he's got the fire of rock and roll coming flowing through him from being on stage yesterday too.
Yeah, on floor.
In front of human.
Yes, yes.
I'm not sure.
That was actually the biggest group of people for that thing. You know, I've done it.
Cool.
So, yeah, but you know, we're still talking 30 to 50, somewhere in there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good crowd to be in front of.
Yeah, something like that. I didn't do an actual head count, which actually is kind of weird for me. Fun fact.
Oh, you started when you get on stage. Do you always count to stay
there? No, not on stage. Just when I'm in a room and I'm kind of curious how many people are there. That definitely went through my head. And then I'll like do a quick, like I go to a show sometimes. I'm like, well, what do we got here? And then I'll like figure out a line. And anyway, Billy Corgan stopped by the record store because Smashing
Pumpkins. You want to back up a little bit and talk about, explain to people what we're talking about here?
I guess, yeah. Elderfest. I have shared some stuff, but yeah, Elderfest is an event held at No Name Records in Minneapolis every year around the release of music from The Elder by Kiss. The owner lost a bet with, of all people, Michael Brandvold, and this was the how he had to pay it off. But it was such fun and such a big success, he just kept doing it. With Treble, we played... the second year was the first time they had live music, but we were the only ones who signed up. Other than that, it was just people kind of walking in, pulling an acoustic off the wall if they wanted to do something. They've gotten it much more organized since then. I'll do some name dropping here for people involved. Todd Jameson, who's been in a band locally here called The Good Bars, and he does a ton of like solo acoustic gigs at like small, you know, cafes or bars and stuff. You know, kind of like happy hour entertainment and stuff. Very talented guy, and you know he sets this whole thing up and makes it super fucking easy for guys like myself to just show up, plug my guitar in, sit on a stool and play some Kiss music. He has everything all set up. I don't have to, you know, get any amplification or that kind of stuff, just myself and a guitar. So thank you, Todd. Thank you, Danny Beck, who runs the event. It's really cool. Gene Vogel shared me. We did a medley again. I think twice I've done medleys, but we did Mr. Make-Believe off the 78 Gene Simmons solo album. We did All the Way off of Hotter Than Hell, and then we did, we closed it with God of Thunder. All Gene songs. I'm playing with a guy named Gene. We called ourselves Gene Spliced. All the songs were spliced together. So, we retired yesterday, but after the show, they already asked us if we would reunite for next year. So there's already reunion talks, but I'm behind the scenes. I'm hearing Gene's already reached out to Tommy Thayer to see if he's available.
You're getting replaced?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. Vicious. This guy, were the shirts actually printed from your, I didn't know if it was like a last minute kind of thing. Cause the lettering was pretty standard.
Oh, yeah, no, it was, it's just the same kind of, like, if you saw my Baco shirt at Rockin' Pod, I did the exact same thing.
Okay, gotcha.
So, just iron-on letters from Joann Fabrics.
Oh, yes, okay, so it was a homemade one. That was
No, you're not, I think to get the, I did actually have a Baco shirt made professionally that didn't show up in time for Rockin' Pod, and that one was, like, $35 plus shipping, and I was like,
no.
I learned my lesson there. I actually like the one I made a little better. And so, it cost me about, I don't know, maybe $20 all in to do these two shirts. So
nice. I just like imagining you with an iron getting ready for the show.
Man, I really should have got a picture of that.
Time to rock and roll. I'm on the D.
Yeah. Put it on the cotton setting.
So what'd you think? Would you think about your performance? You're going to drop in a clip here on the show at the end of this set? Part or what?
You know, maybe if I don't, we'll just go to the, I'll have the video up on the Cobras group later this morning. You can watch the whole thing if you want to do. I thought
or
it turned
we can
up
at least, well, at least be in the notes of the show too if you want.
Oh, right on, awesome, yeah. And then, great idea. But yeah, I think it turned out pretty good. We didn't get as much rehearsal in as we had hoped, but this is such a busy time of year with, you know, it's both of our anniversaries that hit the week before mine, and so the last couple of weeks got a little tight, but we hammered it out with about 4 hours of practice between Saturday morning and Friday night. But it was all good though, man. My biggest concern was not being able to hit a couple of those high notes on Mr. Make-Believe, and from what I could tell from the video, I give myself at least a B+ on getting there. So
okay, better than high school and any level of education, so that's good.
My college grades are okay, but you're spot on with high school.
I was straight C's, man. I didn't give a shit until later. So all right, that's good. So what? No, I'm sorry, I interrupted when you were name dropping.
The day before, Billy Corgan swung by the store. There's really not more to that other than that he spent $750 on vinyl.
You gotta love that when a celebrity comes into your store, right?
If you go to the No Name Records page on Facebook, you'll see a kind of blurry picture of him. It's clear who it is.
Yeah.
But I think he's leaving the store at the time. I think they didn't want to bother him.
Sure.
But yeah, the Pumpkins played on Friday night, the night before the thing. So.
Oh.
What an amazing thing it would have been, because he would have been there during right around the time we played.
That's what I was hoping.
I think he might have like walked in and walked out though, just because if you went there to shop, this is not the time to do it, you know. And they used Danny sets aside all the Kiss stuff throughout the year and then puts it out for sale this day, and I couldn't even get to look at that because people were just sitting there, you know. Another group came on after us, everybody just kind of keeps their spot and hovers with a good 6-foot distance from the front of the stage. It's like, come on, people, let's get a little closer. A little
What I did like is the huge rock and rock and roll over banner that looked pretty badass, and then right tiny to the left it had a little elder thing like this.
I made that for the event years ago. He brings it out of here. That thing is 2 feet by 2 feet.
Oh, okay.
So it's much.
Well, it looks okay. All
yeah,
right.
Next
so
to that fucking banner, and also right. in the background, it comes off a little smaller, but yeah. I always like get pissed at myself when I see it. It's like, why didn't I just make two of them? Take one home.
You wanted a B+? You got a B+. The hottest band in the land, Gene Splice.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. This time I'll try to get it right. Oh yeah, just give me one more chance tonight. Oh yeah, I'm trying hard to please you. Do you believe me if I tell you, baby, won't you try one more chance tonight? Just to make believe, Mr. Make-Believe, let me live inside you, please. And if you tell me what you like, oh yeah, I know I'll try to get it right, oh no. I'm trying hard to please you, would you believe me? Try one more chance tonight. One more chance tonight, Mr. Make Believe, Mr. Make Believe. Let me live inside you, please. Mr. Make Believe, Mr. Make Believe. Let me live inside you, please. I'm trying hard to please you. Would you believe me if I tell you, baby, won't you try one more chance tonight? One more chance tonight.
Well, before we get into some of the rock news, you went on another one of those family trips, and it's always fun to kind of catch up on how things go sideways with the Cannon Group.
Sure.
My wife and I also just got this. We're wrapping up our actual week off, but we last weekend we left the home for a few days to just get some time away at a hotel. By the way, best hotel I ever stayed at. We had
really
two TVs, two bathrooms,
two shitters.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, I know. Like, anytime one of us had to, like, do number two, the other one didn't have to suffer if they had to use it quickly.
Yeah. What a concept.
Oh, I had one of those showers with a waterfall in it. And yeah. I sent you a picture. But it had like a motivational message right above the toilet that you could read right before taking a shit. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah. And now it was near the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. So it's a place where they have a lot of people that have extended stays. So that's a big part of it. But great pool. Boy, the back really enjoyed the old hot tub action there. So feeling pretty good week later. So
nice.
But anyway, you guys went to what did I call it? The Wisconsin of the Southwest.
Yes, I believe that's what you said, Matt. Utah. We went to Utah.
It's more
Utah.
Like comparing Branson and Vegas. I think it's a better comparison. You know what I mean? It's like you got Las Vegas and there's Branson.
Okay. Sure.
So,
why
yeah,
not?
You got Wisconsin and then you got Utah. So Wisconsin's like the drunk brother and Utah is the one that like hasn't had a drink in their entire life.
I just like the fact that you're immediately alienating at least 50% of our listeners by insulting Aaron Camaro and BJ Cram right there, right there, throwing Wisconsin in there. A fine state. And by the way, I'm going to stick up for it too. That's where my parents were. They were in Kenosha, Wisconsin, until they migrated all the way to Indiana.
Why'd
they
leave? So
you want to throw some insults?
Out of that entire group, I think BJ's the only one who's still stuck there.
Okay, listen, he found some gainful employment. He was raising a family. He had to make the choice. Do I stay in the wonderful state of Wisconsin or move on to the Indiana?
Yeah, Indiana, and honestly, largely by your own description, not much of an upgrade.
No, exactly.
Yeah, BJ is the only one that's still stuck in Wisconsin of all those, too.
That's true, yeah. No, and he's trying to get out by writing Cheap Trick books every year.
No, I'm very familiar with well-to-do Wisconsinites because they move here. It's like, oh let's go to the, you know, let's, and they become weirdly Minnesota Twins, Minnesota Wild fans, and then only fucking Packer fans. It's like, no, you don't get to do that.
Well, anyway, I'm not sure the comparison because of Wisconsin and Utah, but here's the thing. Moab, it's middle of the desert. They have places in that town called there's paths. It's where the arches are. You've seen it. Mm-hmm. Actually, right here. You see this? This is a damn tourist shirt.
You know, I do think depending on the shirt, I think one thing
I did that by the way. I took two less shirts than I needed because of what we talked about a long
right
time ago
on.
about requiring you to purchase your clothes on the way.
I do appreciate that you and I don't have a lot of shame when it comes to getting a touristy shirt.
Yeah.
With the exception, I would think, if it's too local. Like I bought a Duluth tank top once because it was really hot, and I don't think I've ever wore it since.
Okay. Well, I just wanted a shirt that says, yeah, I've seen a bunch of rocks. You know what I mean? But so Moab, we did a 4x4 tour.
Nice.
Which is basically this big high-powered golf cart that you nearly die on going down different paths.
Yeah, I think most people can picture it.
Yeah, it's
I mean, it fits a family of four. It's not a golf cart.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Whatever. But we did that, some mountain biking, blah blah blah. But
did you let the boy drive?
No, I did not.
Oh man.
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
But anyway, let's get
into
the
wife.
Design.
Did you let the wife drive?
I did. Well, the funny thing about that is that I let her drive for part of it, and the kids go, can we have dad drive again? I'm like, yes, fucking stereotype.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nice.
Like, woman can't fucking drive. Get out.
All right.
So I loved it. Anyway, but, you know, things were great. I had no disaster tales until the last day, if I could get to that.
Sure.
And essentially, we – well, I did, but – well, no, I'll leave that part out. Well, you saw the pictures too. The one thing notable is that I finally saw both a bathtub and a sink that had the swan from Billy Madison.
Stop looking at me, swan.
That's right. Shampoo is good. Conditioner is better. It smooths the hair. I mean, that. Come on, is that one? That's almost as good as the scene of Gene licking his balls in the Wizard of Pod, right?
Almost, yes.
But anyway, so little Cannon, little girl Cannon. what we got to come up with her name?
Cannonette, LCN.
Yeah, sure. Let's see. So
about little Lucy.
Okay, so little Lucy. I'm not sure if it's good for a girl. Anyway, one of the. Right.
Okay.
You can leave that in. Anyway, so one of the little canons is in fourth grade, and they have this thing where, for no reason, some state senator or whatever decided that if you have a fourth grader, then all national parks, Yosemite, whatever, they're all free as long as you got a fourth grader, okay? So for the first time, one of my kids is actually saving us money, and they give you this ranger badge, and part of it is you have to get all these activities done once you get inside the actual park. You got it? You can get your badge, all this kind of stuff, like being Girl Scout, Boy Scout, whatever. So you save $40, you go in. We did that like two or three parks there. The last day, though, we weren't able to get the actual booklet, your graduation papers or whatever, to get your sticker.
Yeah.
Got it? Okay. So the last day we go back to Arches National Park. That's where you see the famous big rock arch. I'm not sure if you know that because it's like the rock arch in Wisconsin.
Reference. That's exactly what I was going with it, but okay. Or what about the one in St. Louis?
Yeah. Yes, there you go. But it's made of rock. That's the difference.
Yeah.
God has made it. Not a local place.
Golden Gate City.
That's right. So anyway, so the last day we go there, and we go up to the booth where you're going to pay your money, and it says park closed. basically, it's busy.
Very, very Griswold.
Yes, it says park closed. And
sorry, Rusty.
Uh-huh. And everything. We had already packed up everything. We're about to leave. We just had to get this little book from a girl. And everything. And I looked at that and it said, turn around. There's a little turnaround area. And I said, I'm going in. And he goes, we're just going to go to the information center. It's right over there. We're not going to the park. And so I pulled in. And all of a sudden, get out, sir. Sir, you have to leave. You got to go. You're not allowed to be here. I'm just going to the information booth. I'm just getting this for a girl. You know, I'm like, I'm going to do this. And then they finally kicked us out. So I turn around. And I'm like, all right, sorry. Little Cannon's all upset. And I'm like, yeah, I was just trying to get your badge, honey. And all of a sudden, bam, lights, two park ranger cars, lights go on. they pull us to the side of the road in front of this.
Kids had to love this.
So the first, like, Dad, what's going on here? And I'm like, so in short, I got a ticket for, first off, the guy pulls down, and this guy was Ranger Rick. This guy was in it, man. You have trespassed on national parks. Do you have any weapons in the car? I'm just trying to get all this stuff. And essentially I go, listen, let's just try to get this. I'll leave. I just wanted to go right there. That's all I was trying to do. You know, I'm like, I'm total Griswold here by doing this. But I got a $150 ticket for violating and not reading a sign in a national park. And so essentially that do the math. The $40 cost me $120 and being and getting a ticket.
And you never got the book then, or?
No, I never got the book. You're not allowed in. So you got to go.
Even when you just explained what was going on, there is not a reasonable adult to be dealt with.
Nope. The guy was like, "Did you see what the sign said? It said it was closed." I'm like, "Yeah, but the sign is closed, and I wanted more information." So I was trying to get to the information center.
And you can visually see the information from where you were at.
There was nobody in the toll booth. The toll booth really wasn't there. The information booth was walkable.
Okay.
Right there.
But you could visually see it.
Yes, you could visually see it. That's all I was going to go. I wasn't trying to go and see the fucking arch. Nobody's going to stop me. I was going full Wally World. That's all I was trying to do is get my badge from my girl.
Exactly. Just trying to be a dad.
What would you have done? Would you have just all of a sudden turned around?
The whole thing, I'm like, well, I hope you went in and tried to get to the information desk. I can't believe you couldn't make it to the information desk.
No, I'm talking about as soon as we went in there.
Yeah, I hear you.
Lights. I'm just saying. It was like nuts. It was like, this is a national, the guy kept saying, this is a national park, sir. This is not a state park. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Is there a whole park ranger dream to go from state park to national?
Like that level of description really weighs heavy on the average American citizen. Like, oh my God, I had no idea. I thought this was just one of those shithole state parks with one of those dumbass rangers who don't over fucking step their authority. Oh, I had no idea I was dealing with fucking
national park.
Barney fucking Fife, man.
These rocks are national rocks. These are not local rocks. And I thought to myself, it's the same thing as is somebody that's armed robbery. If you knock over a 7-Eleven, that's different than robbing a bank, because that's a federally. It is true. You get more in trouble for a bank than you do a 7-Eleven.
Okay. Like you were lying.
No. That's different levels of – it's a federal crime versus a local crime. So I was like, Jesus Christ. And the
isn't it also a federal crime to like steal somebody's mailbox off their house though?
It is. Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like you have to think of the crimes you're going to commit. That's why I just put extra things like, what kind of crime is it where you just give yourself a bonus candy bar when you're using the self-checkout line? Is that federal? Is it a federal Kroger's?
I think that's a county.
Oh, it's county?
Yeah. Okay. County by county has different rules on that. So.
Okay. That was when I asked, what would Baco do? And you would have actually done.
I would have probably had the exact same scenario, except for I might have like gotten a little more pissed off if the guy was, I don't know. You got the kids in the car, that tends to keep you cool. Mm-hmm. But boy, if my daughter needed that, and like literally, like if they didn't like have some like, you need to get this, you know, like if there was no notification that this was going to be closed that day, like it sounds like it was just a thing that they were too busy.
That's correct. They had too many people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was all it was.
Yeah. I think a reasonable person could understand that retelling of that story and say, I tell you what, I can take you in. We'll go get the book, but they have to stay here or some kind of
nothing. He just said, get the fuck out of here.
I'll watch you while you fucking go do it. Yep. And as long as you leave, we got no hassle. But no, I don't even care if it's like, I got to give you a ticket because I turn these lights on and then I get in trouble if I don't get tickets.
Right.
But I will let you go get the book while
that's
I'm
what I was. Yeah. I thought that's how it was going to end. Yeah, that was that. But no, it just ended with Dad is a bad man.
A high roller, even when the chips are down. To win her over, I'd see the tables turn around. She's 10 the hard way, I can feel it in my bones. She'll be making my day, not another night alone. Well, it's time for a windfall, not a single minute too soon. I've been too long overdue, now I'm gonna shoot the moon. I did it all on a good run of bad luck, 7 come 11, and she could be mine. Lucky a lady, and I'm gonna find love coming on the bottom line.
Well, hopefully your kids have recovered. Now, we talked about this about a year ago. Your boy is already approaching that age where he's about to realize how flawed you are.
But already has.
You're still a hero in your daughter's eyes. So I hopefully you can recover from that for the last couple of years you have until she turns into one of those moody little brats. But, it's just going to happen. It's not a cheap shot.
Well, good. I'm glad that I feel better now that you would have done the same thing. So, what do you – you had a question. You wanted what would I do in your situation?
It's a lot different, but we just had, like I said, our little getaway for our anniversary. A little low-key this year. We didn't fly anywhere. Like, last year we went to Seattle. This year we just left town, went down to the Rochester area of Minnesota. It's where I went to college. I lived there with Wilson for 3 years. I really haven't been back there much since then. Most of my friends that I knew there have all moved. Actually, we didn't visit anybody. I have family down there, but that's not ones I want to see.
Understood.
But yeah, so we just basically, I wanted to get a hotel, someone with a pool.
You mean family.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't want to just sit at home for our anniversary mainly. So, and we wanted to be back on Halloween because it's our grandson's first Halloween. So we tried to tie everything together with that. Anyway, some friends of ours from
happy anniversary, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I sent you what I always send you, which is a little heart on one of your posts. Did you like it?
I did. Actually, I cut it out of my computer screen and framed it. So okay. I put it with the other ones.
Excellent.
I appreciate that.
It's a nice collage.
I saw Ron Keel actually shared my video of the song, but he shared it on his own page and said some very nice things, and I'm sure that pissed off Craig Smith. Some friends of ours met us for dinner one of the nights that we were in Rochester. We kind of made reservations at a restaurant called the Purple Goat. I give it a C+. The food was good. It was fine. Whatever.
Is that a euphemism?
You know, I thought it was. Did you see my picture of that store in the Mall of America now, Moose Knuckles?
How is that allowed? Is it just front, really flat fronted pants for women? Or what is
I
it?
Didn't. You know, everybody asked me. I didn't look. I was killing time between getting some updates to my car at the dealer. So,
you know, I heard that most Moose Knuckles are just like you have like Einstein Bagels is next to, what is it, Potbelly?
Yeah.
Like the Moose Knuckles is almost always next to Lovesack in the mall, if you notice that.
Well, a friend of Amy's asked in the comments, like, oh, what kind of store is it? I said, it's basically a knockoff version of Squish Mittens.
They were first, Rebecca. Remember, Squish Mittens were first.
And I'm not sure she got it either time. Yeah.
There's that hardware store called Hatchet Wound next to him as well.
Yeah, so we had some friends meet us for dinner in Rochester. Hatchet Wound, beer. There's all sorts. I don't want to go down that rabbit
hole. Okay, please, let's go.
So we're out to eat for dinner, and these are dear friends of ours. We you know spent our anniversaries together more than once, traveled and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but going out to eat over the years has gotten very more. It's very uncomfortable because the wife, she's kind of short with staff, and she has always got a lot of questions, and she doesn't always know how to ask it. And sometimes she tries to be fancier than she is, and mm-hmm. she'll mispronounce a word trying to pronounce, you know, like crumble, you know, things like that.
Crumble? Just say crumble?
Something, but she gives me, she's not like like the old white person. What's this? Creme brulee. Like, she's trying to be the person that knows how to properly nail it and then fucking misses. You know what I mean? You know, almost worse.
How are the oars divorce?
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, whereas, like, a standard, like, my mom would be like, what's this whores D-Uvers? D-Uvers? Okay. How do you say this? You know what I mean? But, yeah, and she would be the one, instead of saying hors d'oeuvres, would be like, How are the yeah? Or maybe she's like, what's the term for soup of the day?
Oh, soup du jour.
Yeah. Well, what is the soup du jour? Oh, that's the soup of the day. That sounds good. Exactly. I'll get that.
That's the description.
Anyway, I can't remember what she ordered. She had a question about her drink. And by the way, the drink has this long ass detail. It tells you everything that's in it. And you know, it's a very fancy drink page. And then with her food, I can't remember what it was, but she tried to, it was basically like a Mexican sour cream, if you know what that is. It's like kind of a more watery version of sour cream. But they have a fancy name for it, and she was butchering it, and the waitress had no fucking clue what she was talking about. And she was kind of short with her about it. So the waitress does this and then leaves, and then she tells us this story that they were at, and by the way, this is part of, I think it's sort of important, at Applebee's.
I love any story that starts with "I was at Applebee's." I don't give a fuck. It is timeless. Please.
She ordered some kind of fucking margarita, but not like a standard one. Like let's just say it's a peach margarita.
Wait, what's the one that you what's the one that they had to deal on? The
Long Island Teas, the $1 Long Island Teas.
They have one with a margarita too.
Oh yeah, they did. But I don't know that I went for that one. But
sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, and it had a cherry in it when it showed up. Now she has a food allergy, allegedly, that doesn't allow her to eat or drink anything that has red coloring in it. Oh, that's what she fucking asked. She's like, "Does your water?" She ordered a watermelon margarita with us. And she asked, "Is the watermelon juice come from a can?" And the waitress just looks at her like, "What are you fuck? What?" So she asked it again. She's like, "Well, it comes from a plastic jug, but we make it here." Okay, that's what I. Yeah, it's like, what, canned fucking watermelon juice? Where are you? So she's always trying to think of how can I sound smart ordering my food, is my theory. But yeah, she told. So the waitress leaves and tells us this different story about a time she was at Applebee's, and she says, "Well, I'll need a different glass." And they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Was there something wrong with that? Like, it has a cherry in it, and I don't want that." And there was a little bit of back and forth that she tells how she told the story, right? And finally, someone at her table, and in her head, the table says, "Miss, she has a food allergy." But I've sat at meals with this woman, and I guarantee if that was happening, I would have been the person saying that, but I would have been, like, embarrassingly shrunk in my seat. I'm like, She has a food allergy, and I don't know why she's not fucking telling you that instead of this. Like, she's trying to make it like the waitress's fault for being an idiot, and she's telling this story like she's some fucking like brave, you know, consumer advocate. It's like, you're just a rude. So my question for you is, do you have a couple that you guys go out with that you don't like to, or my personal theory is you guys are the couple.
Well, it's close to that.
I've had a meal with you and your wife.
Oh, that it's close to that, and that is my parents growing up. They used to this same shit. I was told that if a restaurant, when I was growing up, I was told if a restaurant has paper placemats versus cloth placemats, you tip 10% for places that have paper and 15% for ones that have cloth.
What if there's none?
Then fuck it. No tip at all, I guess. I didn't think about that anomaly. My point is that kind of stuff. I know what you're saying is my point. Yeah. I've had that where my mom would be the same way. I'm throwing my own mom under the bus in this. What do you think about that?
There you go.
It was that kind of thing where it was like very – if I was petrified, I was like, Jesus Christ. It's like this. I'm sure it was something like this. Like, sweet Christ, please let the food come out the right way.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Okay.
I've had so many meals with these people, and it's always her. Oh, my God. Right.
That's what I mean. Like that. There's nothing more uncomfortable to the point where I stopped at like the age where my son is right now. I was like, fuck that. I'll take a peanut butter sandwich. Y'all go out and get something to eat. You know what I mean? Like, I do not want to go eat with you people. And the fine dining in Indiana was Red fucking Lobster. That's where we would go. We go there for the fisherman's feast or whatever it was. And I was like, and even then there was something wrong. I'm like, I was like, how could there be anything wrong with this meal? It's all fried. That's not, everything is fried in this goddamn platter. You can't fuck that up. Everything's fine. It's hush puppies with fish.
That's a good point.
So my point is.
I should take her to Red Lobster.
Yes, take her to Red Lobster.
She might not be able to go because the word red's in the fucking restaurant name.
I also have a food allergy, by the way. It's called Applebee's.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing, too, is that part of that Applebee's story was the husband jocking the mac and cheese. Like, he was like, oh, and I got the mac and cheese with bacon, which I really liked there. And just for the listeners out there, I am not above eating at an Applebee's, but if you ever ask me for a restaurant recommendation, there is no list long enough that will include Applebee's. All right.
So, page 75.
Yeah, well, so, like, if it's convenient, it's close to where you're going, and you just got to eat quick, and you want something a little better than McDonald's, I'm not so snobbish that I can't fucking find something on their menu to devour. But it's just not going to be a recommendation. The reason I bring it up is while we were eating is that he tried to recommend another restaurant in Rochester that, like, while we're sitting there, is like, you know, there's other places we should check out. And I'm like, I look at Amy, I'm like, I don't know. This guy was just jocking Applebee's. I don't know how good that place can be. So
right.
They fuck up your martini or whatever the fuck you ordered with a cherry in it. And, you know, I've given up the ghost on praying. I've tried that before each meal. Like, dear God, let this be the one that she doesn't have fucking rude. By the, I don't think it's like if she just didn't want that on her food, whatever that cream was. If there's something on it, like, hey, I'd like this, but can I not get the arugula? Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
I think you just start with whatever it is, a double neat.
There
whatever
you go.
You say, just order, start drinking heavily before and during.
I was the only one that didn't get a mixed drink that night too. I think I mentioned
that was probably the problem.
Maybe I should just get a little buzzed up.
Yeah.
Deal with this thing, but I don't know what the answer is. I'm just gonna have to suffer with it for the rest of my life, I think. But Jesus Christ, I would love to just sit and talk with her, but I think it would go sideways.
Have you considered opioids?
Down the side you were made.
Bakos, let's get into some music talk. You know that the perfect length for a podcast is 22 minutes, so we got to tighten this up.
Yeah, we got about a year's worth of episodes recording today, I think. I recently found that out, so thanks for the reminder.
No problem.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, you're a big fan of biopics, and I understand you know, that we've talked about The Dirt in the past, Bohemian Rhapsody, your love for those. So there's another one out there. You want to discuss it?
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of parody songs.
Right. It's all those things together. So biopics and parody songs, you combine those, there's nothing but magic for you, as I understand.
Yeah, so I heard about them making the Weird Al documentary or biopic a while back, and they said they were going to cast Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al, which...
Harry Potter.
Who I actually have really enjoyed the choices he's made for films since then. He's done
Lady
a lot of...
Lady in the Dark, I think. That one was pretty good.
That was one of them. That was all right.
Lady in Black.
But he's done some challenging, not exactly blockbuster kind of roles. Like the movie Horns. I don't know. There's a couple other ones. But I just appreciate the fact that he seems to be a fairly well-adjusted child star who's also comes off as an interesting person in real life and maybe a decent human being. But he physically does not fit the Weird Al look at all. And then that's the biggest thing probably, but I will say this, when it comes to biopics, the general person out there watching this shit, the people that actually go, that was a really good movie when they see one of them, typically all you need to do is just get somebody that with makeup and a good wig looks like what they think that person looks like, and just show them a picture like, oh my God, that movie looks really good. I don't really care if you do a good job of acting the character, if you spot on resemble the person. Okay. I just didn't see it. And then I saw him talking about the movie before it was released, and he's like, he did no research on like Al's mannerisms, voice, or anything. And I was like, okay, what is going on?
You mean the first like 5-10 minutes, you're like, what's going on with the show?
No, like him promoting the movie ahead of time.
Right,
he was
right,
interviewed.
Okay.
Daniel Radcliffe said, I did nothing as far as research of Al. I how did you develop the character? That kind of stuff. One of those questions. And he did nothing. And I'm like, what's going on? Is that a joke? Is he just trying to set me up? I really had no interest in watching it until I found out that it's a parody of a biopic, which is honestly, I don't have a big problem with Weird Al. I like what he does, but it's like use once and destroy kind of his music is, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not something you need to go back to, but he's definitely iconic and he's definitely funny. And he's very good at it. And the idea that he has to do a parody of a parody. So I'm sorry if I'm ruining it for people, but it is so fucking funny.
Did you go into it not knowing that, though?
I did. By the time I saw it, I did know.
But within 10 minutes, you know what's going on.
Oh,
right?
If you don't know, and you're not making it 10 minutes. Yeah. If you don't figure it out, within 5 minutes. We'll just say 10 minutes. If you haven't figured that out in 10 minutes, you're probably going to be disappointed in this movie. There are so many fucking cameos. I'll just say this, Jack Black is amazing in it. I haven't seen him do something in a long time, and he is fucking hilarious. There are so many little side tangents and things that you wouldn't even think about. I'll just say this, get yourself a Hey Boy. that comes up. I won't tell you what it is, but it is, it made me spit out laughing.
Nice.
And just the relationship between Al and his dad, and his dad not wanting him to play the accordion. Madonna plays a big role. The thing is, like, Madonna's half the movie. And then I saw Al interviewed, and he said, like, in real life, he spoke to Madonna once, and it was maybe for 45 seconds. And that was it. That's their whole relationship. But in the movie, she's probably the lead female actress in this thing.
Wow.
So
I got to tell you, this is, I'm going to have to fire this up this week because it makes fun of biopics in general.
Yeah, well, it's a parody. Yeah, I think when you say make fun of that, because I don't think Al actually ever makes fun of things. Sure. I think Al takes a comedic slant on things. He's not picking right. on them so much.
How about this?
It doesn't come off malicious or mean.
It takes the normal biopic tropes and kind of like takes them
there you go.
Further.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for me, that's fun. It's funny. Yeah, you know, it's doing, you know, it kind of reminded me of like Return of Bruno, but that was more of a parody of a standard, you know, biography. So this is
okay, even further than that.
So excellent. Yeah, now this is going into like being dramatic, and then casting Daniel Radcliffe makes perfect sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, and oh my, there is just so many.
I had suspicions, but that's great that they kept it under wraps like this, because I remember on the preview, I think he had his shirt off, and I'm like, I don't remember Weird Al having a six pack and taking off his shirt and like posing like this or whatever like that. Yeah. I'm like, something's off here.
Well, they parody a lot of rock and roll moments.
Yeah.
Oh, but man, I don't think this spoils too much, but even at the end in the credits, they get you again. So,
nice.
Like, they're just rolling out, like, executive producers and stuff,
right,
and then showing baby pictures of Al growing up. And the first dozen pictures are real pictures. And yeah. then, suddenly, everything after that is a Photoshop picture.
I like it.
And then again, I'm like, this is so good. This is right. almost as good as Wizard of Pod.
We're off to see the Wizard. The Wizard of Pod.
Exactly. That's right.
And the weird thing is that like the Madonna thing, I swore I had seen something like this before. I'm like, did he do this bit? And he did. There was a Funny or Die video from about 10 years ago that this whole thing was kind of built off of. The same guy who directed that did this. Yeah, it's like where he has this like love relationship with Madonna. And it's only like a 10-minute video for Funny or Die, but he said like over years he's been asked to like make a movie based on that, and he finally did.
That's awesome.
Anyway, I don't want to say much more because I really recommend it for people who have a sense of humor anyway. And I guarantee as a Weird Al fan, you're going to dig it. The fact that I liked it so much, because I just don't care that much for biopics, and Weird Al's not my cup of tea other than I have a lot of respect for him.
Well, we're going to play a quick game of greater than or less than, okay?
Okay.
We'll go to a song. Lamageddon. Greater or less than Lamageddon?
Oh, man. Two very different greats. Yeah, it's better than Lamageddon. I don't know how I should I rank this, but which one am I more likely to put on again? And it's about a push on both. I do want to see both again. I'm going to give the slight edge. Recency bias is going to give it to Weird.
Okay. Greater or less than American Pickle?
Oh, greater.
Great, and then finally, greater or less than Human Centipede 3.
Well, I haven't seen 3, so.
Sorry. Human Centipede 2.
Well, they are the same genre.
which movie has more mouth to ass?
Human Centipede 2 does.
Okay.
You know what? I got to mix it up here. Human Centipede 2.
Everybody shut up. Everyone listen up. If you can't write in the proper way, if you don't know how to conjugate,
maybe you flunked that class. And that's why I think it's a good time to learn some grammar.
What?
Now did I stammer? Work on that grammar.
You should know when it's less or it's fewer.
Oh, yeah.
Like people who were
right.
never raised in a sewer.
I hate these word crimes.
Like I could care less.
That means you do care.
Oh, at least a little. Don't be a moron.
Hey,
you better slow down. The right pronoun.
Hey, hey,
show the world you're no clown.
Everybody wants
say you got an IT followed by apostrophe. Yes, now what does that mean?
You would not use this in this case
as a possessive.
No.
It's a contraction.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
What's a
contraction.
Well, it's the shortening of a word or group of words by omission of a single letter.
Okay, now here's some notes. Syntax, you're always dangling. No X in espresso. Your participles dangle. But I don't want your drama. If you really want, leave out that Oxford comma. Just keep in mind that these are
I should mention, we've been a little remiss on this, that Pantheon, our overlords, they have launched their own Pantheon app that you can find in both the iTunes or the Apple. What's the Apple Store called? I don't even know.
Just the App Store.
Okay, the Apple App Store and then Google Play on your Android users. So, yeah, it has all the Pantheon shows available, obviously. Check it out. I think they're still kind of working through some stuff, but it's a way to get it just to see all the shows that are available for Pantheon in a quick little app. So,
yeah, and we should mention that their new tagline, essentially, is Pantheon, the Music Discovery Network. And they pretty much had a version of what the app is on Spotify. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is you can, if you're on Spotify and you just subscribe to Pantheon, you get us in your feed. You get every time a new episode that's in there comes up, you're notified of it to check it out. And the reason I mention that is that they are all about not cannibalizing their own thing. Like, they're not going to have, there's no other show on there that talks about both Wasp and My Trip to Moab. Like, right. you're not going to have duplicate shows. You've got the Shout Out Loud cast on there. It has, obviously, Decibel Geek. All Special Podcasts, for example, they have an All Weezer podcast. I think there's an All Fish podcast. So you can really discover some new music. In fact, they have a new specialty one come out that's an All Man of War podcast. It's called Three Sides of a Loincloth.
That sounds like a title that may have already been taken. Are there three sides? It seems like there's more.
there's actually two, just the three, ball four, sack and the front leather part.
I got
part.
Five, maybe six, depending on how big your balls are.
Okay, all right. So anyway, check that out.
There was a Gene Simmons at Elderfest that Gene and I got a picture with. If you take a look at it, focus on how high he has his codpiece. It's almost like a Ken doll.
Hold on. So you're telling me that he's a shirt tucker?
He's a shirt piece? He's a shirt tucker. And the funny thing is he's got his phone tucked into his jean costume, too.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Well, it's like, well, I paid so much for this. I got to wear it once in a while.
That's right.
You know, what's the fish podcast called? Fish Dicks?
Something like that. I think it's just called, well, it's... Each episode is 22 minutes, and it's just every single fish song.
You know, I wanted to hit you a little bit with what's going on with Kanye, and believe it or not, Fish Dicks reminds me of that. Did you ever see that South Park episode where they basically made the point that Kanye takes himself too seriously? And then there's this one joke that Kanye doesn't get. So let me just test it with you. And the answer to the question I'm going to ask you is, yes, I like fish sticks, okay?
Go ahead.
Okay, do you like fish dicks?
Yes, I like fish sticks.
That makes you a gay fish. No, the fish dicks.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. Not a great joke, but the whole episode, Kanye doesn't get it.
And now here he is, Jimmy Kimmel.
All right, hey, how are we all feeling tonight? So let me ask the guys in the audience a question. Do you like fish sticks?
Yes.
Huh. What are you, gay fish? And so, hey, Paul, do you like fish sticks, Paul?
Sure.
What are you, Paul, a gay fish? So apparently more and more Americans are eating fish sticks. Have you seen this? Have you read about this? Loving fish sticks. Kind of makes me wonder, you know. What is everybody, a gay fish?
Quite possibly the funniest joke ever conceived, and its origin is unknown. The fish dicks joke crosses all borders, all races, all ages and ethnic groups, and is slowly uniting our country. In fact, the only person who appears to not get the joke is rapper Kanye West, who becomes furious when people use the joke on him.
Yo, that is messed up, yo. I am not gay, and I sure as hell ain't no fish, all right?
You really don't get it.
Hey, man, I'm a genius, all right? I'm the most talented musician in the world. If I was a homosexual or a fish, I would know.
You're a rapper.
Yes.
An entrepreneur.
Yes.
And you like fish sticks.
Yes.
You're a gay fish.
No, I am not no gay fish.
Just gay?
I'm not gay, and I'm not a fish. Man!
You are male.
Damn right I'm male.
A male that likes fish dicks.
Yeah, I like fish dicks.
You like to put fish dicks in your mouth.
Yeah.
You're a gay fish.
All right, that does it. I'm going to kick your motherfucking ass.
And then when he does get it, he gets it wrong. And he says, I guess I am a gay fish. And then he turns into a mermaid and then goes and makes out with other male mermaids.
This sounds like a great episode.
Anyway, in more serious news, Kanye is getting into some trouble for some anti-Semitic remarks that he's been putting out on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, good.
And, you know, just all around kind of, I don't know, unnecessary shit, I guess. I've always kind of liked Kanye on one end, but because sometimes the guy actually makes some, he'll say something, you go, well, where's this guy all the time? But then most of the time it's just batshit stuff. And I kind of think he's just dealing with, I don't think he's mentally all there. I don't think he's ever really been all there. I think his mom had a way of kind of reining him in when she died. And this is just all speculation. I don't pay that much attention to that fucking guy.
I just think he's a genius because he rhymed Apollonia and isotoners.
It's an Apollonia isotona.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta end it right.
Don't act like I never told you.
I think the only song I've actually enjoyed by him was Gold Digger. Whatever. I don't know that I've heard much more from that. There is that video where he's got a topless Kim K on his motorcycle. That's fun to watch on mute.
Okay. Is that recent? I don't even know.
Yeah, they were still married. You know,
right.
The last 5-10 years, yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, Gene Simmons, noted Jew.
Yes.
He was on Piers Morgan, noted piece of shit. The only piece of advice that I have, as someone from in the peanut gallery, I'm not a doctor. This is Gene, not a doctor.
Sure.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physician. I don't know Dr. much Love. About Ye or sure. Kanye. I've got friends who are close enough and so on. If there's medication, I respectfully urge the gentleman to take the medication.
Is it because breaded has something to do with genius, which swims?
No, because you said you like fish dicks, Kanye. Don't you get it? You see, fish dicks is a play on words.
I don't need anyone telling me play on words. I'm a motherfucking lyrical wordsmith, motherfucking genius.
It doesn't really have a whole lot to do with our world of rock and stuff, but it is notable that it went to the point that even Gene's getting involved. I think Paul had some comments on it too, but more along the lines of like, there's just no place for this kind of rhetoric. And anyway, speaking of that, Elon Musk is, as of this morning, charging you $7.99 to get a verified check, which means, if I understand it right, anybody can. Plus, he fired everybody at Twitter. I think PAW Paul is ripe to return now.
Like, hell yeah. Verified check Paul. We should probably just do a GoFundMe just to verify his ass. like if you want. Like
you know, that, maybe that could be our Patreon for $8 a month. You can make sure that Paul Stanley has a verified check.
Yeah, we just need 12 donations. You just have to put up a month. We will promise you a year of PAWL Paul Stanley. And what I mean by that, you will do that. You will do the comments. I will send you quotes that I think will be funny, and you'll just
one in ten I think is your hit rate, which is, you know,
I think so too.
Yeah, but you know, I'm a 2 in 10 guy, so
sure.
I'm not anyway. Huey Lewis sold his catalog for. Would you like, did you see the news, or can I just
I have drop? Not, no, drop it.
Give me a figure. What do you think? So Springsteen went for $500 million. I can't remember who else recently went for like $300.
I think Motley went for $80 or $100 or something.
$150,
like that,
I think is what they claimed. All right, what do you think Huey Lewis got?
I'm going to say, how many top 10 hits do you think he had?
At least five.
I'm gonna say five. Very milk toasty. You can use them in everything. Back to the Future. and all that. I'm gonna say it starts with a two. I'm gonna say it's 200 some.
It does start with a two, but you have too many zeros. He got 20 million.
Then I call bullshit on Motley's number.
I think we did at the time.
Yeah,
I think Motley's maybe be an up two kind of number.
Because I could see him being put into every single fucking commercial. Mm. You know what I mean?
Now, do you remember, were you cognitive of pop music? Because you're so much younger than me. When I Want a New Drug came out?
Yeah.
It was actually pretty controversial. Mm-hmm. MTV wouldn't play the video like before 7 o'clock at night for a while.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. Now it seems so fucking milquetoast.
Well, yeah. I mean, now they just changed the lyrics to Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, another one of those genius insights from LC.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Didn't he win that suit, too?
I don't even know what you're
Ray
talking
Parker
about.
Jr. So. Okay, sorry. Ray Parker Jr. was sued because the theme for Ghostbusters is exactly the same song as I Want a New Drug.
Hmm. I hope nobody won. That's not close enough for my take. And I'm pretty lenient on this shit. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Play the clip.
Another quick hitter here is that the Revolution Saints have gone through a lineup change, which I don't even know how many records they have, right? But basically,
oh, keep going. I know this one.
Joel Hoekstra is being replaced by, the other guy. No, Joel Hoekstra is replacing the guy you interviewed, Doug Aldrich.
Yep.
And Jeff Pilson is replacing Jack Blades, which means just the drummer's staying.
Yeah.
And you really wonder, like, because we talk about these frontier supergroups and, like, how they're just kind of mishmash. Doesn't even fucking matter.
No.
I mean, at least, like, the Dead Daisies, you have one guy who's like, this is my project. I'm a millionaire. I'm going to hire who I want. But this is just so fucking stupid. And I think hasn't Joel Hoekstra and Doug Aldrich replaced each other in every band from the 80s at one point? They went one way or the other. They've both been in Whitesnake, I know.
Have they ever even played together before? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not kidding.
Why should because they start a super group? You know,
yeah,
they need to get some super to add to it. But
right. No, I'm saying like these bands, like that, those, like I get them confused with like the two or the other three bands that have the same. Like when I interviewed him, I was like, okay, you're in Dead Daisies, but you're also in Revolution Saints, but you're also in this other thing.
Both been in Dead Daisies?
I think so, but to that point too, I think in the interview you said that they've in that band, he said the difference between Dead Daisies and the Revolution Saints is that we've never played together. Revolution Saints has been had two albums when it's all just sending your tracks back and forth. They've never been in the same room together.
Unreal.
So the fact that they're actually replaced, I mean, and who goes, is that the band that they can't just come up? I mean, just come up with another fucking name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody cares.
Is that the drummer. Oh, by the way, there is a bass player joke in the Weird Al movie that is right out of my playbook. It is just jaw-dropping hilarious for me anyway. I'm not sure everybody or Queen fans will appreciate it, but it is so fucking good.
Love it, man. I'm primed. I can only say, like we do with everything, we've just increased the ratings or the downloads or the streams for that movie.
Oh, yeah, at least by two.
Yeah. BJ and Aaron Camaro are all in. Wisconsin, we got wrapped up.
Yeah, I thought they tapped out already because we made fun of
their state. They
probably
did. Yeah, it's been past 22 minutes. So.
There's that too.
Right now people are like, I came here for Wasp, and it's 45 minutes in.
And one other thing I wanted to get at is throw a little praise and some fucking criticism if I can get my thoughts together. Sure. You were on the Sly Dog podcast recently, and you guys kind of... Now, we talked about it in the past, but I've now had a chance to listen to it. Why don't you go ahead and promote that a little bit, let people know where they can find that, and then I have some feedback.
I bet you do. So anyway, the... Yep, so I was invited on to the Sly Dog Music Cast to talk some Alice Cooper, and the theme was that myself, Joey Roiland, and Alex, who has a more ridiculous name, Sly Dog or Loose Cannon? Sly Dog and Loose Cannon.
Oh, man.
I mean, just the fact that we're on the same
show.
You
guys need a side cast.
We really do.
Sly Dog and the Cannon.
The Sly Cannon and the Loose Dog.
Man, can I record the intro?
Oh, please.
Yes.
Do a few takes of that one. but yeah, so it was top five Alice deep cuts, and then just going on our histories of, you know, just digging Alice Cooper, and that's pretty much it. It was fun, and I appreciate being invited on there, and I don't know, it was an enjoyable listen.
Now, this is your first kind of extended kind of run with Alex. It's impressive how somebody his age can speak so, my Lord, the knowledge he has on almost so many. It was weird when he was on Suns Out during one of the games, and he's like, yeah, I've never really been a thrash metal guy. I'm like, is that the only genre you don't know, like, just right. A ridiculous amount of facts on? I loved his little teaser question to get to decide which one of you guys got to pick first. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a deep cut there, too.
But the young man does his homework and is very passionate, so it's always fun.
Yeah, so just to give you a little more color there, he's, I'm going to say...
26.
Okay, thank you for letting me know this. So, really young guy, and then he's talking to old man, 48, and then like Joe Roiland of Sit and Spin, he's maybe, whatever, he's in his 50s. So you're getting the different generations of Alice fandom, too.
Yeah.
So it's always... I think it's pretty
interesting. Yeah, I like that you think you and Joe are in different generations. you always try to spin yourself. You're like, you're on the cusp of 49 and a half. I'm like 48. Oh, God.
Listen, I don't got
I got
the,
your
the
back,
five.
Joe.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
And
all right, throw the criticism. I tried to make some actual critical thought at one point.
You're definitely knowledgeable enough on Alice Cooper that you're a perfect guest for that kind of show. So no criticism there, no jealousy, and you know whatever. I enjoyed the entire thing. I was surprised that I liked that none of you guys picked anything I would put on my top five. You know, a lot of times you listen to these things, you're kind of rooting for your own team. But it was almost
cool.
Of
a top five deep cut.
Yeah, but no, I didn't really catch that till the end. But how many top, because you said top 40s. Did Dallas have more than three top 40 hits?
Pretty much not. I think he's maybe, well, I don't know.
Song I would have picked that might have got in there was How You Gonna See Me Now. But I don't know that was that big of a hit.
But it was, that was the rules. Sorry, if you didn't explain it. It couldn't have been a single. Period. I think that's what it was.
Well,
it couldn't have ranked. I think it was that it could be a single, but it couldn't crack the top 40 or top 100.
That's how I understood it, but it was late in the episode when he kind of reiterated it. So it might have affected my picks a little bit, but I really enjoyed the picks for the most part across the board. There's nothing to nitpick there. Where I'm going to come at you is you play fast and loose with factual things that aren't arguable. It's like, well, I don't like this and I don't like that, so they don't exist. Dude,
what are you talking about?
Love It to Death is Alice Cooper's third fucking record. Get over it. It's not coming out of the gate. It is not a great debut. It is there. It doesn't matter that the first two records are dog shit in your opinion. I'm sorry, you don't get to decide the fucking discography order.
Okay, yeah. Bucko, no problem. I'm saying it's the first. Nobody knows those fucking albums. Pieces of shit. They're on Zappa's thing. They're all stoned. It didn't matter until Bob Ezrin showed up. That's all I got to say. Jack Douglas, Bob Ezrin. That's when it started.
Say it like that, then, man. In my opinion, there's nothing. You don't listen to those first two records. In other
words,
I said
I don't count
number,
them. I don't.
Right. No. You
me.
Said, yeah, no. No, you said it factually. Like, those first two records don't count.
They don't.
They do.
To me.
You can still buy them.
Guess what?
I own them.
So should I always say, in my opinion, now to be polite? You want me to do that when I'm on other shows? Because we just say things like, this is the best song on the album. We don't say, in my opinion. We just say that because that's a fucking fact to me.
It's not a fact at all.
It is.
It is not.
It's my, right, but I
no,
don't
saying
say
you don't like those
opinion.
Records, so you would recommend somebody start with Love It to Death is a lot different than saying Love It to Death. That's you come out of the gate, boom. How can you be this good right out of the gate? It's not right out of the gate. They shot their wad on two other records that you think suck. Which, by the way, I also agree. But does Pink Fleetwood Mac only started when Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined?
Okay.
No, all those blues records don't count.
Well, I guess what?
Then I'm gonna like them. The songs are too long.
Here it is. Fine. You know what? Then we need to. I'm gonna send a letter to Decibel Geek, and I'm gonna have them completely re-edit their Pantera episode because they started with Cowboys from Hell. Okay, and they have to include all the previous ones because they didn't come out of the gate with Cowboys from Hell because this is all this stuff in the ba 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 ba. Yeah, let's just include all.
Now,
those
let's go
fucking
back and listen to that. And did they say, well, those records they don't really count? Really, Cowboys from Hell is the first record.
That's
nope,
right.
Nope, it's factual that this is the best. This is a debut record from Pantera.
What was it called?
What?
Pantera?
Pantera.
Pantera.
Well, oh, like you know, it. I got my yelling LC accent there.
Okay.
My Colorado accent.
Anyway, this whole thing is a facade.
But anyway, yeah, go check out that episode on the Sly Dog Music Cast.
Yeah, I'm going to do a complete 360 here and reset.
Dear darling, surprised to hear from me. Bet you're sitting, drinking coffee, yawning sleepily. Just to let you know, I'm gonna be home soon. I'm kinda awkward and afraid. Time has changed your point of view. How you gonna see me now? Don't see me ugly, babe, 'cause I know I let you down in oh so many ways. Are you gonna see me now, since we've been on our own? Are you gonna love the man when the man gets home? Listen, darling, now I'm heading west, straightened out my head, but my old heart is still a mess. Yes, I'm worried, honey. Yes, that's natural, though. It's like I'm waiting for a welcome sign, like a hobo in the snow. How you gonna see me now? Please don't see me ugly, babe, 'cause I know I let you down in oh so many ways. Are you gonna see me now, since we've been on our own? Are you gonna love the man when the man gets home? Just like the first time, we're just strangers again.
You know, I'm exhausted. This is called an episode after that. I'm done defending my stance.
That was a defense?
Listen, there's a reason I didn't go into law.
You and me both.
You would have been a great lawyer. Are you kidding me? You'd have been up there. You'd been like the To Kill a Mockingbird lawyer up there. Just you're defending. You're what every Boo Radley needs. I've almost thought of that. Baco, what Boo Radley needs.
Who's your boy?
That's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then you thank yourself for that.
And you know, that's another fresh movie reference.
How did I miss that?
Exactly.
You know why? Because I'm more a literary guy. I went to the book, yeah. I read The Godfather. I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Mario Puzo, great novel.
Wasp, the tour finally launched since our last recording, and it turns out, LC, that I'm a member of about 93 WASP groups on Facebook because my Facebook feed is almost half people complaining about the show, the set list, half people complaining about the complainers, and to do some, I can't remember what movie this is from, 50-50-50, but and the other half just talking about it, right?
I just think it's great that you one day you wake up and you're like, I might be part of too many WASP groups.
I got to tell you, it is a cursory story of a tale of like maybe don't accept every group invite. One of them is Rambo or Boy Michael Brandvold, which I might have a funny quote from here when we get to it. I was Alex Alt, speaking of which, he did a 10-minute phoner with me just to get himself psyched up for the WASP show he went to. So that's coming out at some point, his show review. It's just he gave me a quick call. He kind of talked about how excited he was to go to the show. Him and I are WASP buddies. I'll make a very brief appearance on a future episode, where he breaks down his whole experience. Did you get a chance? Now, you're not. I know you only know WASP because you listened to Decibel Geek once.
Some pretty good songs. Yeah. Listen, I got to tell you, I think that this lineup is perfect. I'm not surprised that it is. Well, I won't get into this too much now, but I think it's a good lineup. And if it wasn't sold out here in Denver right away, then I would have gone, because Armored Saint with WASP, I think that's solid, and it's bands that don't tour that often. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
And if you've come into them like I have over the last 10 years, I think it's a better seller than they expected.
It's done pretty well ticket-wise for the most part. I think about half the dates were sold out in advance. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be playing places, I don't know, in the neighborhood of 500 to 1,000, which doesn't surprise me. Now, he doesn't tell it like that. So a lot of the issue that people are having is largely with the set list and then the very much toned-down version of what he was pitching for a stage show. And then people defending that and calling those people idiots because if you expected blood and meat, well, you're just an idiot. And it's just,
is there any meat? Is there meat involved?
But here's the thing: I never thought there was going to be meat, but he was on Eddie Trunk. Blackie Lawless was 10 days before the tour, and for this is the first interview I heard where he was literally asked, "Are you going to be throwing meat?" Eddie asked him, and he doesn't say no. This is his answer. He says something along the lines of, I'm just going to say this. Yes, things are happening like that, but not right. The way you would expect it. Okay? Just say no, man. It's like, no. Yeah, yeah. Of course I'm not fucking tossing steaks out into the audience. That's ridiculous. I don't even know if I can do that now.
Can I throw in a Cobra hack real quick?
Yeah.
You know, it's not really specifically a Cobra hack, but you know the whole thing about you can walk into a venue having a ladder?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And everybody, cooler of meat. I say the new one is the cooler of meat. You can get in anywhere. Nobody's going to question you if you have a cooler of
Dress meat. Dress like a caterer and then do that. Okay. They're waiting for me back. Why don't fans bring in their own meat and throw it at Blackie?
Right. Or you can get in for free and you just say, this is for Blackie. And people are like, okay, sure.
Oh, the meat. Oh, the
meat. Go on.
Guys, the meat's here.
Continue, please.
All right. So, yeah, and a lot of this stuff does go back to Blackie overhyping this. And even when he was on Eddie's show, and at this point, knowing what was, like, the staging was ready. He does describe the stage fairly accurate, but then he also oversells it by saying, we're basically taking an arena show and putting it into theaters. And I'm like, you might be taking a theater show and putting it into clubs, but you are not playing these theaters, you know, like mid-size kind of things. And sure. And I don't really understand that old school mentality where you just got to oversell. I'll tell you this. He's doing meet and greets, and frankly, he's letting people film.
Meet and greets?
Yeah, meet and greets. Oh, yeah. Why no meet at the meet and greet? And he's letting fans film it, which I think is pretty cool. This stuff's up on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. I've seen a couple of them, and the first one I watched, everybody gets to ask Blackie one question. Like, it's this big, what's your question going to be?
Sure.
And I don't know what the question was because I didn't have the volume up, but when I got it up, Blackie was already talking about, his good friend Muhammad Ali and how they would have long conversations.
Good friend.
Yeah, like we would talk for hours.
Okay.
Hours and hours about religion. And I'm like, okay, Blackie. Yeah, all right. You know, and then in the Eddie Trunk interview, he talks about like, yeah, the guy who's doing our stage, he actually just made that Foo Fighters movie. It's like, Jesus Christ, man. How come you never name drop people of your ilk? Yeah, you know, and our guitar tech, Warren's not touring right now, so he was available. You know, no, it's always just like some grandiose person that you never see Blackie with. Just accept it, man. You have some passionate fans. The tour is doing good. Why does it have to be more? Like, it's just ingrained in him. It's like, at least when Gene Simmons talks bullshit, he's fucking literally doing arena tours. Yeah, but mm-hmm. Blackie's like, yeah, we're just, But you know who I am? I don't care about the set list. If I picked it, it would be a lot different than it is. But I've seen the stage show. I'd be happy with it. I look at this, I think the average ticket's in the range of $30 to $40. And for what you see and looking at the set list, it's a little short in length for me. And I think Blackie insists upon the Crimson Idol way too much. Honestly, for a 40th anniversary tour, the bulk of this set list, and by bulk, I mean 85%, has to be from those first four records. And honestly, half the first album, probably three or four songs off of Headless Children, and then a good mix of the other two. And then if you want to try to do something with the other records, that's fine. But I just think that's your core, that you have to celebrate that era. That is your biggest success. And I don't – look, he may love the Crimson Idol. It's a good record, I think. But it didn't fucking do what you wanted to, Blackie. You were basically on an independent label at the time, putting out kind of poorly recorded and poorly produced stuff. This is not, you know, the genre, but it seems like he just is fixated on that one part, that one album, and because I think there's like four songs in the set list from this thing, and it's just like, and they're all right in the middle, and it's just, I don't know, maybe that's instead of a drum solo.
Well, that's the one that I was really surprised how good it was, though. I get what you're saying if you're playing just for the masses, but I'm saying, like, didn't they have, like, he did a re-recording? I think that's the version I heard.
Yeah.
Like when I was
yeah, I bought that too. It comes with a little movie and stuff, and that was it was produced a lot better. And right. And if you're going to listen to one, I would probably pick that. Although I think Alex Alt actually has some nitpicking to do on that version versus the original, but I preferred the second one. Mm-hmm. But I'm also a Wasp fan. I've also followed their whole career, and that it's not in the top five record for me. And in sales wise, I don't know where it lands. But there's a steep drop-off after album four. I bet you every record he released since then has sold maybe 10% of what he sold in those first four records.
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, it would be like Alice like putting
four Dada
songs from... There you go. Something like that. Like, he loves it, but he's insisting it upon you. Like, yeah. If you... As a fan, I would be probably happy if he would just sprinkle one or two nuggets from... you know, the core and then just a few nuggets throughout, right? Isn't that kind of what
you're thinking? Yeah, that's kind of
what I'm thinking. Would be better? Yeah. Because then you'd be like, holy shit, I can't believe he's playing this from that, because none of it sold past his first couple albums.
Right. Imagine Kiss coming out doing their show and then just dropping in The Oath. That'd be cool.
Just one. But one.
But like, then all of a sudden playing four more songs from The Elder, I'm sitting there going, fuck yeah. Now, if it's a Kiss cruise, I think you could do it. But at their one of their actual arena shows,
sure.
I'm like, nobody's going to want to see this. You know, Kiss celebrating 50 years, you're not getting four songs from fucking Music from the Elder.
Is he playing Blind in Texas?
I believe so. Actually, I have the set list here.
Yeah.
So
let's ruin it for everybody.
Opens up with a medley, which is also kind of my bitch. I like medleys, by the way.
Not opening with, probably.
Yeah, though. but it's... These are all classic songs, so he wants to make sure he has fucking room for the Crimson Idol shit. On Your Knees, The Flame, The Torture Never Stops, and Inside the Electric Circus. Personally, I would open the show with Inside the Electric Circus and play the whole song. Then it goes to Crazy, Love Machine, Wild Child. These are not medleys at this point. Heaven's Hung in Black, and then another medley, Hellion into I Don't Need No Doctor. And then The Idol, The Great Misconception of Me, Charlie and the Chainsaw and Murders in the New Room Morgue. So there's your kind of like little...
That's the Crimson Idol one, right?
Yeah, but that he splits that up and comes out He does two Crimson Idol tunes, then does the encore with that. And then he plays Blind in Texas, does another encore where they play Fuck Like a Beast, The Real Me, and I Want to Be Somebody. And I Want to Be Somebody, perfect closer. So overall, not a bad set list. It covered, like I said, I wouldn't go to this show and complain probably about anything unless I got kicked out, which we're about to get into.
Is that 60 minutes, though? It's pretty short.
Well, according to Blackie, it's close to two. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was actually close to a fan on one of those groups. He's playing almost 2 hours. I'm like, he's playing less than an hour and a half. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that's not close enough for me to say it's almost 2 hours. But mm-hmm. it's fun to read some of these comments between the super fans. And Michael Branvold posted this morning. Apparently, he runs one of the. He must do something because they got Blackie on their show, and he lined up Blackie to be interviewed on the Ron Keel show. I know. So apparently, if I want a Blackie interview, I got to go through Branvold.
It's going to be a good conversation.
Yeah. Well, there's your tip, Alex Salt. I know you'd like to get him. Anyway, I've explained kind of what these groups are like, and they're all like this, but you know, people complaining about the complainers. So this is admin note. This is from Michael Branvold in the Wasp Nation official group. Admin note: stop making posts that just complain about people complaining. They are just as bad as those complaining, and they only serve to egg the complainers on. Those posts will be removed. So he's not going to remove the posts of people complaining, just the people complaining about the complaining.
Oh,
which I'm actually on board with. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, complaining about complaining is still complaining. Yeah. You're not better. It's like, I'm so sick of all you people complaining, says the guy complaining.
True. Mm-hmm. I think, and that, I just like admin notes that use the same word four times.
Yeah, that's some alliteration for you, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like Beyonce alliteration.
Yeah, it really is. I do know Branvold is a big fan of Beyonce.
Oh, it shows in his admin notes.
Yeah, I think my last exchange from him on social media involved Beyonce. Because Beyonce like released an album on a Friday but didn't tell anybody. And he's like, who else would do this? Who else but Beyonce? Like, and I said, give me a break. All she did was release the records. Like, you've never named one other band that's done something this cool. And then the Foo Fighters had just released Wasting Light. And not only did they played a garage tour where the fans got to have Foo Fighters in their garage, like, throughout the country. They did, like, 20 shows or something like that, which is super fucking cool way to promote your record. They gave, how many songs in that? 11 or 12? They gave, it's 11, I think. They gave 11 fans $10,000 to make their own music video for one of the songs. Hmm. That's pretty fucking cool. But hey, you know, Beyonce released a record and didn't tell anybody she was gonna. So that's the same. Yeah. So what can't she do?
Did we end with Beyonce? Did we go from Wasp to Beyonce?
No, we got just a little bit more on Wasp. Okay. All right. Okay. So Wasp last night played Dallas. The show ended up getting overbooked by the promoter and got canceled. Now, when I went to bed last night, the last I saw was a picture of somebody standing like in the crowd, but the crowd was basically outside of a building, outside of the venue, and that's how overbooked this thing was. Like, you couldn't even actually get in to the venue if you were coming in a little bit late. So our friend Joey Haney actually messaged me overnight. Oh, let me stop there. I woke up this morning and saw the stories on all the groups of people complaining because the show got canceled. Basically, Armored Saint played, Michael Schenker played, and then there was a long delay, and the show eventually got shut down by the fire department, who came out and said, you either have to kick 600 people out or you have to cancel the show. They ended up canceling the show. So I was curious what the venue size was, because I saw a couple comments where people were like, they better rebook this at a place that can hold at least 3,000 people. Now, I don't know. Dallas is a big city. You know, I don't know. And I don't know this venue. Thankfully, our friend Joey Haney was there, and he sent us, both of us, a group message this morning about the whole deal. And it was kind of scary because he said, like, as they were leaving, they got tipped off that they're going to cancel the show. They're leaving, and there's police in the outside with riot gear on.
Yeah, do you mind if I just like read the actual quote?
Yeah, go for it. Tell us what Joey's insight is here.
Yeah, so he says he's at the show with some of his friends, including
Synaptic Empire, Randy Brown.
He said basically that he's told that don't say anything, but you should leave. Because they're shutting it down. Basically, Randy comes up and says, don't say anything, but you should leave right now because they're shutting it down. We slide out of there. There was a dozen cop cars, riot gear. It was fucked up. How do you, I'm not trying to defend the rock stars here, but how as a promoter do you double sell capacity? There's 1,300 people there and it's only supposed to be 600. That's pretty much the main thing. Crazy scene and vibe that bad stuff could happen. And it was canceled. So, like, imagine you're there. You've been wanting to see Wasp for whatever time. And then all of a sudden, get the fuck out.
Yeah, you know, and I know from these groups that a lot of, and every time one of these shows, especially a weekend show, people travel. Gene Vogel and I were about to get tickets to the Chicago one before it sold out. That would have been an eight-hour drive for us. You know, and to drive that, take a day off of work, book a hotel, do all that stuff, and say, well, here's your $35 back. Well,
no, that's just, but I'm just trying to imagine.
Well, who do you kick out? To. Everybody paid for a ticket.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, how do you even, I can't imagine a place that has six, like, places when they say capacity 600, like these venues, if it's 600 and you're at a 600 person show, you are ass to elbows. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, honestly,
I think so.
I've been to oversold shows before, but not. So we were talking maybe 10% extra, and then you know, so like 1,000 people might be 1,100, 1,200, something like that. Not 600, and there's 1,300 tickets sold. But yeah, again, I don't know the venue that well. All I know is that picture I saw was ridiculous. It's like because it's like you can barely see the stage, largely because there's a building blocking your entire view. In other words, this building is clearly outside of the venue area.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's like a garage where they hold their. In my head, I don't know what it is. It could probably just be the restaurant and bar, probably. But it's like this is where they have like the lawnmower that mows the lawn. You know, and it's right next to a body of water and shit. But yeah, it's and you know, and I gotta believe that it wouldn't take that many cops to handle a Wasp crowd at this stage. But a lot of
probably
shirts
not.
Tucked in pretty tight.
Yeah, sure.
They've had tons of merch shit, too. Alex told me that they had almost no T-shirts, and I saw a bunch of other people saying the same thing. Now, I think that's largely been corrected, but, man, what a gaffe that is, considering how much of a profit that is for the bands nowadays. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine what happened there, you know. And Blackie only works with the greatest T-shirt people in the country, you know what I mean?
Well, I saw that the merch table at the last one, there was a guy with an iron just ironing on WASP, like last minute, as fast as he could.
That was me.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. If you go
the skills,
to
man.
If you go to the Hobby Lobbies in the Dallas Fort Worth area, you're not going to find WASRP.
That's right. Take it up, man.
Oh God.
Wasp is on tour again. Can't get the P.
So anyway, Wasp on tour. Go see him if you can.
Yeah.
Blackie has promised to return, taking no accountability for this stuff. Again, I don't know how much the band is involved. This seems like a promoter issue to me. But Jesus, how do you not fucking know?
I think that they underestimated also the demand for it because of that. I mentioned
why not do a second night?
Why not? Because this place, they're playing this place called the Oriental Theater, which is actually the Asian American theater now, but they have Orientals dishes, not people now. But that's, it's in Denver. It's maybe 600.
I think it's sponsored by the Chinese restaurant in Faribault.
Oh, the Chinese restaurant. Yes. Right next to the
in
Italian.
Faribault.
Yeah. Okay. In Faribault. Yeah. But this place is maybe 600 capacity. I saw like the damn thing, just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
Like this, the damn things there. And it's really, it's one of the smallest ones in Denver. There's no way they couldn't have done two nights there, is my point with that.
May be a scheduling thing, but if they can find time to come back and make the show up, then just do book another night, man. Come back in a month.
That one's sold out, but that's just general admission. So does sold out mean the same thing? Some idiot promoter did the same thing over here?
It very well could be. You know what I mean? Each promoter has their own level of shadiness they're about to get into, but I don't know. I feel bad for the fans because I would like to have seen this. Apparently not enough to travel, but... Yeah. That said, I guess I would be a guy that if I paid my $40, I would not have been upset by the stage. I would not have been upset by the set list. I did watch a couple videos out of my own personal curiosity, and Blackie is using more than just some backup vocals in the mix, but I do think he's also singing live. I heard their set. Someone filmed their sound check in Dallas yesterday, and he sounded great. And there was no backing tracks, so because you could tell like he would stop at a weird time.
Oh, I just got a text from Joey. With the riot gear, they actually looks like there's a ton of park rangers in these pictures too that are that have been added to kick people out. It turns out that actually that theater they're at is a national theater, not just a state theater.
Oh, not a
state.
So, okay. Anybody? So that's
why the fire. Yeah.
Anybody you recognize in the picture?
at least one guy with a ticket. Looks like he got a $150 ticket as well. So it's fucking crazy, man.
Oh God, Wasp.
Yeah, Wasp. I think the park rangers.
I think the fire marshal thinks it's 1985, man.
Yeah.
Fuck like a beast, baby. Wow.
Woo.
Oh, God. Yeah. So anyway, no codpiece, no good blood, no guts, no meat. Just Blackie and three guys that he calls Wasp.
I think that's perfect. You want to get out of here?
Yeah, man. It's a bit ripe down here. I need a shower. I rocked pretty hard yesterday on my acoustic.
Understood.
So I'm still sweaty.
All right. Go get you a shower.
All right, buddy. Rock is not dead.
It's just been oversold. Does Pulp Fiction assist upon itself too? Maybe a little bit too.
No, I love Pulp Fiction. Fucking brilliant.
Okay, just asking, because I think that's a love or hate it movie too for a lot of people.
Never heard hate, only love.
Okay. Titanic.
Never seen it.
I know. There should be some kind of confession thing. Oh fuck!
What'd you do?
Holy shit! I gotta get a Band-Aid real quick. I cut myself on this fucking, how the fuck did that happen? This goddamn coffee cup, somehow on the, anyway, I'll be right back as I bleed over myself.
Let me see the blood.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.